Hello, my name is Kennedy Sam, and welcome to this week's edition of Conversations with Creative Waco. We are a fourth Friday feature on KWBU. Keep listening for conversations with creatives and community leaders making an impact in our artistic and cultural sector. On today's episode, we are joined by two guests sharing about two weekend-long events coming to the community this June. First, we will be chatting with Ashley Stone to hear some insight into this year's Juneteenth celebration. In the second half of the show, we welcome Brayden Brazil, who will introduce us to Waco Drama Troupe coming to a stage near you. Well, welcome, Ashley. We're so glad to have you back.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I know it's been like a whole year almost since we talked to you last.
Yes, ma'am. It has been about a year.
So last time we talked, it was about kind of like footprints and what you guys had going on coming back into programming again. How has that been?
It has been good. We're actually on our summer break now. Mm-hmm. So we got to complete last fall and this spring semester, ended with a really cute showcase with the girls, and we'll be recruiting and starting everything all over again after the pageant, of course, but it's been really good, and we're excited and glad to still be able to function after COVID.
Right. So how did you guys... Well, did you guys have any programming in the last year since kind of school started and there was like some dance team activities and stuff?
We really only did our regular dance classes. We did not get to do any performances. Everything that we had on the schedule was canceled due to COVID. So we got to have a showcase and the girls got to show their loved ones what they learned for the two semesters.
Yeah, I saw you guys were doing some like online competitions as well.
Yes,
too.
We had a virtual dance party during Black History Month, which was a lot of fun.
Yeah, well, I'm so glad you guys were able to kind of navigate that and keep it going.
Yes, yes, it was. We're blessed. So hopefully there's more to come this year, everything opening back up.
Right. Well, yeah, we're so glad to have you on this episode to talk a little bit about Juneteenth and everything. So kind of just to give a historical lesson of what Juneteenth is. So it's a celebration on June 19th to celebrate the actual time and that the slaves were freed, you know, following the Emancipation Proclamation. So it was like a whole like 2.5 years afterwards when they finally came to Texas, like, hey, you know,
by the way,
by the way, like, you know, I don't know if y'all heard, but, you know, you have to let all of these enslaved people go.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And we are just so excited. The community is really pulled together to celebrate Juneteenth on a different scale. So this year is just going to be phenomenal.
I know you've been involved with just Juneteenth productions for some years now. So can you tell a little bit about how it's been celebrated in the past in our community?
In our community, when I first moved to Waco, I participated in the Juneteenth parade that is put on every year by the Syntex African American Chamber of Commerce. That was the only thing I knew about for the longest time until I got involved back in 2018.
Oh, wow.
And I actually was invited to a planning meeting that was put on by Rachel Pate with the chamber, where we all were able to pretty much just kind of fuse together to make a full weekend. So Juneteenth 2018 was just, it was everything my heart desired for Juneteenth, for Juneteenth weekend.
Right.
It gives me chills talking about it because it was just, that was the inaugural year for the pageant, which kicked it off that Friday evening. And then Saturday morning, we're up at the parade. Saturday after the parade, where, you know, the NAACP had an event. We had the big family fun day at Brazos Park East, where we brought Drew Hill was our headliner.
Oh, Drew
and
Hill?
Then Drew Hill, girl, yes. And I got to drive him around and all these things. And then Sunday, we had a huge gospel explosion. You know, Waco Community Choirs and gospel singers from all over came and attended. And that was the Father's Day gospel explosion is what we call that, honoring dads. And so 2018 just really set the bar for like the rest of Juneteenth forever, or as long as I'm around.
I remember that because that was the first year I really moved back to Waco after school. And, you know, Juneteenth really wasn't something that was celebrated too often, and like it wasn't a big thing, but to see all those people downtown, like by the river, just like celebrating and enjoying just being black and being free and just being themselves, it was So beautiful.
It was.
Yeah.
It was absolutely one of the greatest things that I've seen. And I can say this year is going to be even bigger and better.
Nice.
Yes.
So let's talk about this year then. I know, well, okay, we can talk about last year a little bit because that was kind of the first year I was actually involved with it. I remember Cuevas sent out like an email and was like, hey, if you're interested, let's organize something. And so that was coming off of like a really, really tough time with like COVID and then, you know, Breonna Taylor and everyone else.
Yes.
So it was a really good moment to get acquainted with kind of our history.
Yes. And the campaign that they pushed last year, the Days of Activism,
right.
I think was incredible. Of course, everything was done virtually, but it still happened. And that was amazing to see everyone adapt
right.
and overcome, like, what are we going to do this year? And we still were able to do something. And, you know, we've carried that on. And here we are now back right. in person and virtual or whatever right. else you can think of, because mm-hmm. we're making it happen.
Yeah. So Juneteenth, 2021.
All
right. It's the weekend of, it starts on the 18th this
June,
year, right?
Friday, June the 18th.
Yeah. And yes. so you're kicking it off with your pageant?
The pageant is going to be later that evening
okay.
at 7. So mm-hmm. this year, there's actually a new event. It's called the Women of Excellence Celebration, mm-hmm. put on by the New Black Collective and a few other community partners, where they are actually going to be honoring some amazing women
yeah.
in our community. And so their event is earlier in the day. But again, they got some phenomenal honorees coming in.
Yeah.
Our new chief of police will be their guest of honor.
Nice.
Miss Victorian. So they mm-hmm. are really just honoring, uplifting Black women on that day at that event. And I think it's just going to empower women more. And I think Waco really gets to see a glimpse of all of the amazing Black women in our mm-hmm. community and what they're doing.
Yeah, I was looking at the list on the Instagram and I was like, man, I'm getting teary-eyed because I just love all of those people so dearly and I admire them so much. Especially, I'm glad to be able to meet the new chief.
Yes.
I've heard so many great things about her.
I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Yes. So, and then a lot of my idols will be there. Councilwoman Bearfield, Ms. Chisholm, just all the heavy. I call them heavy hitters.
They're definitely heavy hitters.
They're definitely heavy hitters, and they're all going to be in one room right. at one time, and it's going to be amazing.
Yeah. So can you tell us a little bit about the pageant that you helped coordinate and kind of the history and the significance of that?
So I moved here in 2015, and I went to a few members of the community. I was still new here with the vision, and I kind of, you know, it... I think it probably sounded crazy in the beginning, but I met with a Miss Sophia Strother, and I found her on social media, and I told her, I gave her my vision of the pageant, and she said, okay, you have to be dedicated and you can't quit.
Right.
I said, yes, ma'am. And that birthed the celebration in 2018. The 3-day events all day, bringing the vision of unity to pass, but the birth of the pageant, which yeah. is my baby. Mm-hmm. Footprints is my baby, and so is Juneteenth. Like, those are my heart and soul are wrapped around those two things. And so I participated in a Mr. and Miss Juneteenth pageant in my hometown, but it was just a pageant, you know, talents, couple outfits, and crowns and sashes mm-hmm. and all of that. I wanted to take it to the next level by providing scholarships. Not only are you up here getting to show your talent, how beautiful you are, or whatever the case may be, I want you to learn some things. I want you to be prepared to go off to college. And so we put them through financial literacy courses, interview and professional dress, etiquette. They learn about Black history trivia. And then that night, not only do you get to see them all looking absolutely beautiful, you get to hear them do these trivia questions, where this year we have an extra incentive, thanks to MCC and the NAACP. The winners will get an additional $500 on top of whatever scholarship monies they win.
That's awesome.
So it's going to be amazing.
Yeah. So how are the participants chosen?
I get on social media and blast out
yep.
a link, and the first ones to sign up,
mm-hmm.
they get in. I, of course, keep extras just in case there's been times where a contestant has had to drop
yeah.
or something of that nature. But I have them fill out a complete biography. It's a very long application, and if they can get through the application, then they can get through
it means, like, the you're classes serious and the about pageant. It.
You're serious, right. Yes, because it is a lot of questions. Uh-huh. And this year, I just got, oh my gosh, these kids. I mean, they're all already committed to colleges. I mean, even the juniors, they know what they want to do. They're, you know, some of them graduated from MCC with associates before they even walked the stage for their high school diploma. So, I mean, this caliber of kids this year is just mind-blowing.
And so what time is this?
The pageant starts at 7 p.m. at Waco Hall on Baylor campus.
Perfect. And how do people, can people come?
People can come. So tickets are available. They're on sale right now through Eventbrite. Mm-hmm. There are limited seats due to COVID, unless Baylor calls me and says otherwise. Mm-hmm. But we are going to be streaming live. So if you don't get to purchase a ticket and come in person, we will be streaming live that night.
So what has been one of the most memorable moments throughout this weekend for you in either past years, or what are you looking for this year?
I'm going to have to go back to the unity to see a lot of Black people in one place. Like you said, being free, working together, enjoying being free. Not having to worry is probably the most beautiful thing about Juneteenth. But the fact that our friends who are white or Hispanic come to Juneteenth too, I think is just the most beautiful thing.
Yeah. Well, awesome. Thank you so much, Ashley, for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
The Juneteenth celebrations will be June 18th through 19th. You can connect with the New Black Collective, Mr. and Miss Juneteenth, Waco, or the Syntex African American Chamber of Commerce on Facebook and Instagram for more information on the events and to purchase your tickets. This conversation will be posted on kwbu.org. You can also visit creativewaco.org/blog for content related to this episode. With a big new exhibit now up at one of the country's premier museums, now is a good time to remember a pioneer of American painting. Here's David Smith with David in Art.
When was the last time you remember seeing a painter on The Tonight Show? If you're like me, you couldn't answer that question very quickly. And when you finally did, you might well say, never. If you had tuned in to Johnny Carson on the night of February 21st, 1984, alongside an Olympic skier and actress Mariette Hartley, you'd have met a charming and vivacious 84-year-old painter named Alice Neal. Carson seemed captivated by her. Alice Neal was born in Pennsylvania in January of 1900. She graduated from high school in 1918 and 3 years later began taking art classes at the Philadelphia School of Design for Women. She won prizes at the school for her paintings, graduated in 1925, and afterwards married a Cuban artist. They moved to Havana, where she became part of that city's burgeoning avant-garde art scene. Within a few years, however, she was back in the United States. Her first daughter died of diphtheria, and her husband disappeared with their second daughter. Neal had a nervous breakdown, attempted suicide, and was institutionalized. In 1933, out of the hospital and on her own, she became one of the first artists to work with the Federal Works of Art Project, part of FDR's New Deal, making $30 a week painting street scenes and people. She drifted into communist circles in which she would move for the rest of her life and increasingly painted protesters, activists, mothers with children, and those whom American society had left behind. She described herself as a collector of souls. While her content was aggressively realist, her style was less so, being more expressionistic. The combination did not translate to popularity. "I went against the grain," she said in 1984, "and you get punished for that." It really wasn't until the end of the 1960s, when cultural changes sort of caught up with her, that her reputation as an artist began to grow. In 1974, she had a big retrospective of her work at the Whitney Museum in New York, where the entire second floor was given over to her frank and often jarring depictions of humanity. Her reputation soared. "The last decade of her life was a triumphal march," said historian Gerald Meyer in 2014. Now, through the 1st of August, there's a big exhibit of her work at the Metropolitan Museum of Art entitled, fittingly enough, "People Come First." It positions her, the museum says, as one of the century's most radical painters, a champion of social justice whose long-standing commitment to humanist principles inspired her life as well as her art. It's an exhibit worth your time if you can go see it. Alice Neal died in October 1984, but right now, her work is more alive and vibrant than ever.
You're listening to Conversations with Creative Waco on KWBU, and I'm your host, Kennedy Sam. On this half of the show, we're speaking with Braden Brazil, founder of Waco Drama Troupe, a new adult theater group that's coming on scene. Welcome, Braden, and thank you for joining us today.
Hi, thank you. It's so nice to be here.
Yeah. So can you just share a bit about yourself and your ties to Waco, how you ended up here?
Well, I ended up here because I was born here.
Awesome. So. Welcome, local.
Yes, I was born right in Providence Hospital. I'm actually, I think, the fourth generation of a Wacoan. So we've been around for forever.
Tried and true.
Yes, my mom and dad's family.
Nice.
So I know Waco pretty well.
Awesome. So I guess you did all your schooling here. Did you stay here for?
I did. I graduated from Lorena High School. And then I went on to MCC and got my associate's degree with general studies, but it was an emphasis on theater arts.
Awesome. So have you always had this passion for the arts and theater, or do you remember like a specific moment that kind of kickstarted this love?
Yeah, I can credit pretty much the majority of my love for theater to the Waco Children's Theater. I'm a Waco Children's Theater veteran.
Yeah.
I was in the Children's Theater from second grade on to my freshman year of college.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So pretty much every summer I lived there, and I knew when I was there, there's just the camaraderie of it and the family and then the fact that you're putting on a show. I knew it was where I needed to be, and it kind of guided me through doing shows in high school and middle school and college. But Children's Theater is what gave me my – like all my friends came from there, everything.
Yeah, and especially being in that kind of environment when you're so young, you don't only like, you know, get that fulfillment of being on a team per se, but you're also like learning a lot of personal skills because people are afraid to just be on stage and be in front of people and be able to speak. Mm-hmm. So like you were getting all that super easy.
I credit most of my job interviews to the Children's Theater. I worked in a school for a while and like my ability to connect to children. I credit that to the theater, pretty much everything.
So what has been your favorite production that you've participated in so far?
Oh, ever?
Yeah, ever. Like the one.
Oh my gosh. I don't know. I've done a lot of different stuff. I've done a lot of musicals. Grease was really fun. As far as like an intense, like, I stretched myself. I did a show called Mrs. Packard in high school. That was a tough role. That was a woman who they had believed that she was insane because she was speaking against the church and her husband, and they put her in an insane asylum. And it was a true story.
Yeah.
So going deep into that was pretty awesome.
Yeah. So you've taken your love for theater and created something new.
Yeah.
So can you tell us a little bit about the Waco Drama Troupe and kind of what inspired this this creation?
Sure. Yeah. Well, COVID, really. Mm-hmm. You know, I found myself not working and sitting at home wanting to do something. And I had already kind of started mulling around with the idea of doing my own show just because I thought it was time.
Right.
You know, and I love performing around Waco, but I also wanted to try my hand at doing this myself. And so COVID hit. And we were all of my friends, we were all sitting around wondering what to do with ourselves, like everybody else in the world was. And so we just started rehearsing. We picked a show, and we literally started in my living room.
Yeah.
Like, we moved all the furniture, and the furniture stayed in different spots for, like, months because we were like, okay, now you try this role.
Right.
Okay, now you try this role. Like, we were just
experimenting,
playing.
Yeah.
Literally just playing, which I think is the kind of the point of theater.
Yeah.
So it's been a long time coming, the Waco Drama Troupe, because it all started, like, when COVID did. Mm-hmm. So I never really knew. I was like, are we ever going to actually put this up? You know, is the world ever going to let us? And now we're doing it.
Yeah. So how many people are within this troupe?
Oh, that's a good question. Does it count? I mean, me and my significant other were the ones who kind of started it.
Mm-hmm.
And but it's covered with people. I've got 12 people in the show as of now. Wow. So I guess they're considered part of it. But, you know, I've had so much help, so much outside help from fellow Wacoans and people who were just excited for me. Mm-hmm. And just literally out of the kindness of their hearts, they're like, let's do it.
Yeah.
So I would say they're part of the Waco drama troupe.
Well, that is awesome. So as someone who has, you know, was born in Waco and has spent so much time in the theater scene, how would you categorize it compared to, I mean, I guess anywhere else? Maybe, I don't know about New York or whatnot, but just how would you categorize the support or like the things that are offered within our community?
That's kind of what we wanted to do. So Waco has several good spots for theater, and I'm in full support of those theaters. Like they're thriving and doing well. We kind of wanted to bring a New York feel to it. Mm. So our audience is adult. We're doing adult dramas, adult shows. And we wanted to kind of have that small, intimate theater feel with live music and food and all of those things that you could get in a New York City. Now that Waco has become such a hub, you know, there's so many things to do. I'm like, we need to have this kind of like underground, cool theater scene too.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. So you guys are opening your debut performance, Tennessee Williams, A Streetcar Named Desire.
Yes.
So can you tell us a little bit about what the play is actually about and how you chose it?
Ooh, that is a loaded question. Yeah. So A Streetcar Named Desire is a really intense show. Mm-hmm. So I would say this as a disclaimer, you can bring your kids. I don't know if they'll like it, and I don't know if they'll get it. Mm-hmm. So it is intense. It's an intense show. But, you know, it's a story that has been told since 1947 when it was written and will be continued to be told because it's such a classic. Basically, there are two sisters, Stella and Blanche, and Stella married Stanley and moved to New Orleans, and it's kind of a grimy setup, and her sister Blanche comes to stay with her. And Blanche is not so happy with mm-hmm. New Orleans and not so happy with Stanley. And so there's all this tension. The whole show, it feels like one big tense, you know, somebody's going to blow up. Right. And who is it going to be? So, and we're going to have that mixed with live jazz music and serving coffee and beignets to make you feel like you're in New Orleans.
That is very interesting because I was reading the kind of like sentence that you guys have on the ticket site, and I was like, how are you guys going to bring 1940s New Orleans, French Quarter New Orleans, to Waco in 2021?
Yeah, I know. I mean, we wanted it to be an immersive experience because Streetcar is not an easy show. It's mm-hmm. not a musical. And so it's a journey. Mm-hmm. And we want to take people on the journey with us. And I think that helps with being immersed with music and stuff like that.
I love that. Yeah. So I know this one is going to be at the Jubilee Theater.
Yeah.
How did that partnership come about?
Oh, I love the Jubilee Theater. I consider the Jubilee Theater the mm-hmm. Waco drama troupe too. They have been so helpful to me. And actually, a portion of our ticket sales is going back to the Jubilee Theater and to Mission Waco in itself mm-hmm. because it's been so wonderful. They have really helped with all of the COVID stuff. You know, when I first wanted to work with the Jubilee and use their space, because I've seen shows there and I liked the intimacy of it. The great thing about the Jubilee is that it's intimate, but it still seats a lot of people.
Right.
And this was when we were still trying to figure out, okay, are we ever actually going to perform because of COVID? And they have just been so patient with me and wonderful. So shout out Mission Waco Jubilee Theater.
Yeah. So I know you said you've been working with like cultivating the troupe since COVID started. Mm-hmm. But how long has it taken to pull together this production? And like, what does your team look like right now?
Yeah. So it's been a lot of stopping and starting, trying to figure out when we're going to get the show up. I would say, honestly, the last 9 months, things have been in the works. Mm-hmm. So building sets, working lines, getting costumes pulled together. I've borrowed a lot of stuff from a lot of people over time. Getting props together, you know, contacting antique stores, trying to get, you know, who wants to help out with the Waco Drama Troupe and be a sponsor.
Right.
I think a lot of this has just been artists helping other artists. And we're all for that.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big theme that's been going on throughout this last year. It's just the mm-hmm. cultivation of the arts community when there really wasn't a way to express in our normal public. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm glad.
Yeah, and I've had so much help from people that I went to high school with that I did theater with who I'm realizing, I'm like, you know, because we our first thought was, okay, we could go out and hire a costume designer and hire a set designer. But then I'm realizing, oh my gosh, I'm surrounded by people who I graduated with who know what they're doing. Right. And this is a chance for them. Like, I want to stretch my wings. This is a chance for them to do it too. And us all kind of figure this out, be guinea pigs.
For sure. And there's so many like awesome things that are happening around town from just music venues or whatnot. So that we have people in our community who can, you know, run soundboards, do lighting and do all this. And, you know, you wouldn't think about it. And you really, when you look at a play, you don't really think about all the back end work that it takes other than just knowing your lines and stuff.
I didn't realize it either until I got going. I was like, oh my gosh, this is a lot. But I feel like I've learned so much throughout this process. And, you know, that's kind of the whole point. You have to get started.
Yeah. And you've touched on this a little bit. But since you guys are an adult theater troupe and you said this first production is really intense, what kind of topics and stories or genres do you guys plan to share, you know, moving forward?
I want to kind of do everything. So we were talking about that. I mean, we are the drama troupe, so there will be drama. I really think adult shows are important. I want to bring adults into the theater because I grew up doing children's theater and I love children's theater, but this is kind of a different way we want to go. We will do, I think, some young adult stuff and maybe some, you know, teenage stuff. I think could be interesting to bring a teenage audience in. But it's kind of all up in the air. You know, every door is open.
Yeah. And since you guys have partnered with, you know, a lot of people in your network, would you partner with any local writers and creators to produce original content?
100%. Nice. I have friends that I graduated high school with that have contacted me being like, okay, listen, I've been working on this show. Do you think the Waco Drama Troupe would want to do it? And I'm like, I don't see why not. Let's do
it. The door is open.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So for anyone who might be interested in either participating in future productions, you know, what are you looking for and how can they get involved?
Yeah. So contact me at the Waco Drama Troupe on Instagram or Facebook or anything like that. And I would love to. I've already had people reaching out being like, when is the next set of auditions? So I would love it. Also, if you want tickets for the show, we are performing June 17th through the 20th. And you can get tickets on Eventbrite at Waco Drama Troupe's production of A Streetcar Named Desire. Also, the link is in the Instagram bio and Facebook. So
awesome. Well, thank you so much, Brayden, for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
The Waco Drama Troupe will debut its first production June 17th through 20th at the Jubilee Theater. Tickets are now on sale and can be purchased via Mission Waco's box office or on Waco Drama Troupe's Facebook or Instagram. This conversation will be posted on kwbu.org, and you can also visit creativewaco.org/blog for content related to this episode. Tune in into our next episode Friday, June 25th for more deep dives into local arts and culture. This has been Conversations with Creative Waco on KWBU, and I'm your host, Kennedy Sam. Thanks for tuning in.